Okay, so we're on Daf Lama tonight, Darim 30a. So I got up to the Mishnah last night. You know, I want to mention, you know, people mentioned to me today, there's a line in the Ran, which is somewhat famous. This goes on the last sugya. I'll just say one line with this. Let me find it. Let me find it. One second. Yeah. If you look in the eighth very wide line in the Ran, he says, Kevan Shator Amra ki kachi shisha, below Amra ki to the kachi shalish, locally managed tachisasma the shudabal, that the woman doesn't bring herself into the domain of the husband, the husband takes her into his domain. Umishumahachim rin prepared coming to Shindi Amra, he arini muresalachim gramamash. The woman says, I'm betrothed to you. Words don't mean anything. Once she agrees to Kedusha Ish, he mevatel da to ritzona. She's mevatel her das, her ratzon, her will. Umashvi nafsha itzlabal, kidvar shel hefger. She renders herself to vis-a-vis the baal like hefger. Baal machnisel reshuto. And the baal brings into his reshutos. But he's talking about in Kinyanim. But people mentioned to me that it's a famous line. There was this Rav Moshe Rothenberg I was speaking today. Other people, they all knew that. Okay, so we got up to the Mishnah on Lamed Amud Aleph, five lines above where it gets wide. Manitin. Now, the parak takes a turn at this point in time. Up until now, we've been talking about the formalities of making a neder, and we spoke about the ikar neder and the yad, a shorter form for it. We spoke about being matpis, comparing it to davar nadur and davar Ha'asur, welcome, Mayor. Nice to have you. And we're on Lamed Amud Aleph. We're up to the Mishnah. I have a whole Zoom crowd here. And now the Mishnah takes a turn. There's a sea change in the parak, Mayor. Now the Mishnah starts talking about different expressions that a person says in the Neder. How do we construe those expressions? Okay? So the Mishnah says, Manitin, Hanoder miyor deayam. If a person makes a Neder, he's not going to get hana'a from the Yordayam. Yordayam are the seafarers, the people who travel by the ocean, by the sea. Now, it's called Yordayam. They said in the Art Scroll, they quoted, I think, the Mitsudas Tzion, the Mitsudas David, I don't remember which one, that the sea, like the land by the sea is higher than the sea. So when you go to the sea, you're Yordayam. You go down to the sea. So no demi Yordayam, mutar biyoshri yabasha. So he's allowed to get hana'a from the people who live on dry land. He's taking this like konam. He's not going to get any benefit from the Yordayam, but he can get benefit from the Yoshaya Yabashah, from the people who dwell on dry land. But conversely, if a person takes a neder mi Yoshaya Yabashah, he's not going to get hana from the Yoshaya Yabashah, the people who are on dry land, asur mi Yordayam. He's still prohibited the Yordayam. And then it's Yordayam, if he's not going to get Yordayam, that's a certain group of people. But it doesn't include Yoshaya Yabashah. But it says Yoshaya Yabashah, we view the Yordayam as also Yoshaya Yabashah. The people, in other words, the people who go Yordayam, they don't spend their whole life on the sea. They come to the Yabashah as well. He says, Yordayam, the cloud Yoshaya Yabashah. The Yordayam are included with the Yoshaya Yabashah, the people who dwell on dry land. Then there's a line, the next line in the Mishnah, Loke Elu Shaholchim Akol Yafo El Bemish Darko Lefaresh. Now, this line, we don't know which line this relates to. He says, it's not like the people who travel from Akko to Yafo. Akko to Yafo, when you travel from Akko to Yafo, wait a second. What's wrong? Everybody okay? One second. Okay. Listen, if you can hear me, pick up, give me a thumb. Thumbs up if you hear me. Thumbs up. No? You don't hear me? Okay, well, I'm sorry. One second. Wait a second. Can you hear me? Can people on the Zoom hear me or not?
Yes.
You can hear me. Okay, fine. Okay, I'm going to go on. Can you hear me also, Ruth, right? Okay. All right, so let me go on. Okay, let me go back to muting everybody. All right, so again, so now this last line of the Mishnah says, "Lo ke'elu shaholchin me'ako liyafo." So Akko, we know, is in the north, in the northern part of the coast of Eretz Yisrael. right? And then Yafo is like near Tel Aviv. It's right. So that's a short sort of trip by boat. So A, it doesn't take a lot of time. You don't have to go out into the open ocean, and you stay within sight of dry land. So it's not like the people go from Akko to Yafo, Elamisha Darko Lafarish. The person goes out to the sea. So there's two ways of understanding this line. This line either relates to the Reisha of the Mishnah, in which case it's a Kula, or it relates to the Seif of the Mishnah, in which case it's a Chumrah. So if it relates to the Reisha, and we'll go over this again when we get to the Gemara. So the first halakha was, if a person makes a netter, he's not going to get hana from the Yordi Hayam. He can get hana from Yoshe Yabasha. So who's the Yordi Hayam? So this line is saying the people who travel on the boat from Akko to Yafo, we don't view them as Yordi Hayam. They don't qualify. They're not like the deep sea travelers or whatever. They're just like, I don't know, they're just traveling inside of the shore. So that's not Yordi Hayam. They just go for like a day trip or whatever. That's not Yordi Hayam. Yordi Hayam, you're going off for like weeks on the open ocean. So right. So according to that, if a person made a neder, he's not going to get enough from Yordi Hayam. He's not making the neder, you know, for the people who just travel from Akko to Yafo. That would be a kula. That would be a leniency in halacha because he's prohibited from getting benefit from the Yordi Hayam. But it doesn't include the people who are, you know, going from Akko to Yafo. That would be a kula. Or in the alternative, it might relate to the end of the Mishnah. In other words, second line of the Mishnah. The second line of the Mishnah says, if a person makes a neder that he's going to be asur from the Yoshva Yabasha, from the people who dwell on dry land, he's prohibited in the people on dry land and the Yordi Hayam. So there we want to say that, one second, there's a chumra, so means that it's not, in other words, when he makes the neder, he's not going to get benefit from the Yoshve Yabasha, and we said the people who are Yordi Yam also we view as Yoshve Yabasha, maybe we just mean like the people who are like the day travelers, they're Yoshve Yabasha. But the people who go out to the sea, we don't view them as Yoshva Yabasha. So it seems we know they're also Yoshva Yabasha. So that's a chumra. So there's two ways to learn that line in the Mishnah. Let me do the few lines in the Gemara, and then we'll pause and we'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts. Okay. So last narrow line on Lamed Amud Aleph. So Gemara, Rapapa Ravacha Bered Rav Ika. So Rapapa Ravacha Bered Rav Ika. We don't know which one says which. Chad Matni Aresha. One learns that last line, what I just went to, what spoke to you about, it's talking about the ratio of the Mishnah, the Chadmatni Yaseifa. One learns that it relates to the Seifa of the Mishnah. Mandatani Aresha, the one who learns that it relates to the Resha, Matni Hachi, learns like this. Hanodir mi Yordi Hayam, if a person makes a neder, and he's not going to get Hana'a from the Yordi Hayam, the seafarers, Mutari B'Yoshva Yabasha, he's allowed to get benefit from the people who dwell on dry land. Habi Yordi Hayam Asur. So the Yordi Yam is not allowed to get benefit. Velo ke'elu ha'ochim me'atron page ha'ochim me'akol li'afo. But in other words, he took a net enough from Yordi Yam. Yordi Yam doesn't include the people who just go like from Akko to Yafo. They're like the day travelers in the boat. Dalein Yoshva Yabashan. We consider them, they're Yoshva Yabasha because they only go out, let's say, for a day, or they're always in sight of dry land. They count as Yoshva Yabasha. So that would be a kula. Ella, we meet a dark on the Faresh. So he was only taking the neder from the people who go out, like the big sea out in the open ocean. Umanti Matni Asefa, the one that learns that this line relates to the Sefa of the Mishnah, Matni Hachi, learns as follows. Hanoder mi Yoshva Yabasha, Asur mi Yoshva Yordi Yam. The Talmud Mishnah says if a person makes a neder, he's not going to get Hana'a from the people who dwell on dry land. So he's also prohibited in the Yordi Yam. He says, because Yordi Yam, they also, you know, either they're looking to be on dry land or, you know, nobody spends his whole life on the sea. He says, Veloba Elu Ahochim Me Akol Yafo Bilbad, meaning we don't just view the Yoshva Yabasha, the people who are on the sea that are Yoshva Yabasha, the people who go from Akko to Yafo, not only they, the Yoshva Yabasha, Elafil Mishdarkul Faresh, even a person who goes out for a long sea trip, Hova Sofoli Yabasha Salik. At the end of the day, he's going to come up on the dry land, so we view him as part of the dry land people. All right, let me just do a few runs, and then we'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts, okay? Let's look at the run on Lamed Amud Aleph, around 15 lines from the bottom. Mutar b'yoshvei yabasha. In the first part of the Mishnah, we said if a person took a netter from the Yordei Yam, he's mutar b'yoshvei yabasha. But otan shein regilin liyot Yordei Yam ba'oniyot. People were not accustomed; they don't frequently go out to the sea. Miyoshvei yabasha sur b'yordei Yam. If you took a netter from Yoshvei yabasha, he's asur b'yordei Yam. Afilu him achshav b'yam. In other words, he takes his netter; he's not going to get an from the land dwellers. So he says that includes people who are at the sea. Shesofala lo liyabasha. In the end, they're going to come from dry land to the forest dama b'gemara. And then further, v'lokei lo holtim yakol yafo b'forest gemara heichakoi. Okay, all right. Now let me just see if I have anything on my sheets, and then we'll open up the floor for questions, comments, and thoughts, and we'll move on. All right, let me see what I have here. If we have this. Wait, I nearly forgot. Today's Daf Yomi is sponsored by. Wait, 1 second. Today's Daf Yomi is sponsored by Aaron Moshe Kirsch in memory of his mother, Rivka bat Rav Yoel Halevi. Rivka bat Rav Yoel. So from the bracha. Okay, so learning is the lumenishmata. All right, now I'll get to 1 second, Ruth. One second. Today's Daf Lamed. Okay, this we got, and then this we have. Okay, 1 second. Okay, so what do you want to ask, Ruth?
What's up? So what's the nature of the Hanah? What is it?
No. In other words, he says, let's say if a person makes a netter that he's not that let's say your property is prohibited to me, so I can't go to your house, I can't use your property. That would be the type of Hanah. I can't have you do things for me. That would be he's answering the Hanah from everything, from the person's property. That's what he I don't know why he's doing it, but that's what he's saying. Okay.
And how does that apply to travelers and people
again,
on this?
Again, listen closely, Ruth. We're trying to we said we're talking about different expressions that people use. How do we construe it? So if a person makes a neder, he's not going to get hana'a from Yordei Hayam, from seafarers. So what does that include? So we said, so the people who go to the sea, so he's allowed to get hana'a from the people who dwell on dry land. But we said then, according to one Lashon, he says that if a person travels by sea, but from Akko to Yafo, he's also included as the people on dry land. So that would be a kula. So he didn't ask for himself from like the day traveler on the ocean, things like that. Can I see your face? Move the camera down a little bit.
Okay.
Wait, one second. That's one way. Then we said in the second part of the Mishnah, we said, if a person makes a neder that he's not going to get hana from the Yoshva Yabasha, from the people on the dry land, that also includes the seafarers, because the seafarers are also looking to live on dry land. But then we thought, maybe it just means that the people who live on dry land are the people who travel by sea, but close to the dry land. No, even the Yordei Yam, they go to the big distance. So he's the one who made the netter. We're just construing it. Okay. All right. Now, what did you want to say, Aaron Moshe?
I wanted to say that most of the sailors come from Shevet Zvulun because they had the degel with the ship.
Right. Right. Okay. All right. I'm going to move further unless anybody else has to say. Okay. So we're on Lamed Amud Beis. We're up to the next Mishnah, okay? So, all right, so let's all focus. It's around the sixth line. Manitin, Hanoder Meroe Hachama. Now, Meroe Hachama, left to my own devices, I would say the people who see the sun, I would think. But it's not going to be that. It's going to come out that the people that the sun sees. Hanoder Meroe Hachama Asuraf Besumin. So he's prohibited in getting Hana even from blind people. The blind people don't see the sun, but the Gemara is going to explain that Roe Hachama really means the sun sees them. He intends to ask himself that anybody that the sun sees. All right? Now let's take a look. One second. Yeah. Okay. Let's take a look. If you look at the Rashi / Mafaresh on the second and third line from the top, he intends to ask the people that the sun shines for. Okay? So back in the Gemara, says, my taima, he says, why is it that the sumin are included in this neder? He didn't say he's taking hana not to get hana from the roim, the people who see, lapuki dagim bubarim. So when he says he's taking neder, he's not going to get hana from the roe achama, means he's not going to get any hana from any human being, because they're roe, the roe chama is who the sun sees, and he's not going to get hana from the animals on the face of the earth, but he will. He can get hana from dagim, he can get hana from the fish, and he can get hana from the ubarim. The ubarim would be, it sounds like, people who are still in utero, in other words, the time he makes the neder. What does he say? Yeah, so it sounds like, it sounds to me, I'll tell you in one second. Yeah, right. So it means that I way I would say it, right. Yeah. So let's take a look at the Tosfos here. 1 second. I would have understood it one way. 1 second. 1 second. 1 second. 1 second. Yeah. If you look at the Tosfos, it's around 20 lines down in the narrow lines in Tosfos. Lapuki dagim ubarim tein chamaweotan dagim kitapirash duvarim chusim ve'iman. Ubarim are covered in their mother's womb. Aval sharpa lechaim asurim. So I would have thought that maybe he means that those things that the sun shines on right now, I don't know. I don't know how you get hana from an ubar. I don't know how you'd get hana. Actually, with an animal, I could hear how you do it. Let's say you shech the animal so that the ubar you could eat. Maybe like that way. In other words, if it's an animal, so it's like a chef. I could, with human, it's hard to understand unless he means anybody that the sun sees right now.
The ubar, and then sun is shining.
Yeah, no, but like presumably, like, but if you take the fish out of the water, the sun also shines on it. But apparently, he means that the sun sees red. But he means like the species that the sun sees, that sort of thing. That's what I would think. Okay. All right. Anybody else have anything to say? Otherwise, I'm moving on. Okay. All right. Let's see further in the Gemara. All right. Now, in the next Mishnah, everybody with me? Matnitin. Hanoder Mishchorei Arosh. If a person takes a neder not to get any enough from Shchorei Arosh, like the black-headed people. Now, black-headed people is going to come on the Gemara, is an adult male. It's called, please, somebody's unmuted. He says, like, it means, like, if a person's an adult male, he's going to Shchorei Arosh. Because, like, the Gemara takes it like a woman, she always covers her hair. The man, sometimes he covers his head, sometimes he doesn't cover his head, which is also an issue which we need to discuss. But, and most people's hair is black, so it includes even bald people and gray-haired people. Adult males are called Shchorei Rosh. So let's see back in the Mishnah. Manitin, Anoder Mishchorei Rosh. He makes a neder, he's not going to get hana from Shchorei Rosh. Asur Bekerchen, he's prohibited getting hana even from bald people. Ubali Sevot, it means like older people who are gray-haired. He says, Umutar Benashim Uvitanim, he's allowed to get hana from women and from Kitanim. The only people who are called Shchorei Rosh are adult males. And if you look at the Rashi slash Mefarish, and under Shchorei Rosh is Sevot, the Shchorei Rosh Mashma Shnodir Meutan Shahayu Shchorei Rosh. This was second. Let me see. Wait. Over here. One second. Yeah, this we have. Okay, let's see further in the Gemara. Now, the Gemara says, my taima, he says, why is it that if he takes the neder from Shchorei Rosh, he's Asher Bekerchin, a bald person, midlo ka'amar mibalei se'ar. He didn't say he's making neder from balei se'ar. He says, if you look at Rashi, if he would say, midlo amar balei se'ar, to idlo amar balei se'ar, yamut bekerchin, then the kiryak would be allowed. Yeah, if you look at the Ran on the fourth wide line in the right hand column, look tanim bali sayar, he says alma on the first narrow line in the Ran, alma afil kerchin bechlal. So even bald people are included with this neder. But came in the shchorei rosh l'gabi kerchin labdafka. So since shchorei rosh means like black headed people, means that they have black hair, but It's not dafka black hair, and those bald people are also included. Labali sevo nami lav dafka. So if a person's gray haired, is also doesn't have. He's also included in this neder. Mishum hachi amar D'chi ka'amar shchore rosh, lo'tam shadam mitayer otam, b'shchore rosh, nitkaven. He means like the people usually describe generally as shchore rosh, d'hainu anashim, men. D'mishum d'zimnin mechasu reisheihon, sometimes they cover their head, d'zimnin migalu, sometimes they leave their head uncovered, which would be an issue in halakha, we'll talk. E'efshar l'tayer otam, lo b'mechusei rosh, so we can't call an adult male mechusei rosh, we can't call Megula Rosh either. But it grimes Shchore Rosh. But Pisharubin Shalanashim Rosh and Shachor. Because most men have black hair. It's interesting. I think, you know, in different areas of the world, like in the Iceland, the Scandinavian countries, they're mostly blonde. In other areas, they have, you know, different things. He says, Aval Nashim came into the Olam Mechasu, but women who always cover their head, the Mechuse Rosh, he says, Adam Mitayer Otam. So then the women he would call Mechusei Rosh. He says, Uktanim, came in the Megalu, Uktanim always go bareheaded, the Megulei Rosh, Adam Mitayer Otam. So it comes out from the Ran, if he's Katan, I call Megulei Rosh. If a woman would call Mechusei, or Megulei Rosh means a Katan. Mechusei Rosh means a woman, Mechusei Rosh. And then the Shorei Rosh is the adult male. Let's see back in the Gemara, and then we'll pause, we'll take some things. So umutar benashim uktanim sheinikram shchore rosh al anashim. My taima, he says, why is it that only men are called shchore rosh? Anashim zimnin demechasu reishayu, zimnin demegal reishayu. Because men sometimes they'll cover their heads, sometimes not. Aval nashim liolam mechasu, women always cover their heads. Uktanim liolam megal. When the uktanim, they always leave their heads uncovered. Okay, one second. Now. All right, this we don't have here, but one second, let me get here, one second. Okay, so he's got a little piece here in the Daf Yomi Digest. He says, the poskim discuss at length whether the practice for men to wear a yarmulke is mandated by halakha, or is it merely a custom? The Maritz Chayis notes that our Gemara's declaration that men sometimes cover their heads and sometimes leave their heads uncovered clearly indicates it's not a halakhic requirement. That's the way the Gemara says, Zimnin Mechasu, Zimnin Megalu. Is it the Tzemach Tzedek, cites the opinion of Tosfos, who writes that the Gemara's statement that men sometimes do not cover their heads may only be practiced infrequently, Brakroi, but as a general matter, men should have their head covered. So he's sort of like pulling back and says, the Gemara is saying, sometimes, in a rare instance, they'll uncover the head, but they usually do cover it. The Chasam Sofer, however, writes that nowadays, the Mechasim Sofer died in the 1830s, I think he died like around 1839, somewhere around there. He says that nowadays, one who does not cover his head is considered a sinner, poshea. He explains that earlier generations accepted upon themselves the practice of covering their head, not merely as an act of piety or expression of fear of heaven, but as a halakhic mandate. He says the reason is that once non-Jews decided that it's more respectful to worship their gods without covering their heads, it is incumbent upon us to behave differently. Thus, it is required for a Jew to cover his head. The Chasam Sofer cites as proof this approach the halakha related to erecting monuments, matseva, that was practiced and beloved during the time of our ancestors. It became despised once the idolaters incorporated their practice. Like the Gemara says, it says lo takim lecha matseva asher sanei Hashem elokecha. It says in Chumash, don't erect a matseva. Matseva is like a solid stone where you make an offering to the Kadosh Baruch Hu. It says, Lo takim lecha matseva asher sanei Hashem elokecha, that God detests the matseva. So Rashi brings down, but we see the Avo, they did offer on matzevas. So he says, so Rashi explains that when the Goyim began to use matzevas for their practices, so then Hashem detested it. So he's saying here, so the Chasam Sofer wants to say that, like now the Goyim, it sounds like he's talking more about worshiping, but they go around with uncovered heads. So we go, other poskim are also particular about the requirement for man to cover his head. And the Mishnah Berurah even stresses the importance of the pious act of covering one's head while sleeping. Magen Avraham notes that from our Gemara it seems that it is not the practice for children to cover their heads. The Artzud Achayim, which is the Malbim, wrote this. Malbim started to write this halakhic work on Shulchan Aruch, but he never completed it. But they only had like the first volume, which is called the Artzud Achayim, on the first cover of Simanim, Nor Achayim. So the Artzud Achayim explains that the purpose of covering one's head is an expression of modesty, and since children by nature are not modest, there is no need for them to cover their heads. Nevertheless, Magen Avraham advocates covering the hair of children, since it is helpful towards instilling in him Yirat Shemayim. All right. What's up? So in the 19th century, around the 1840s, he was going his heyday.
must have lived somewhere else because he's the most faithful.
What the Maris Chayes is making?
Some people come or some people don't come.
Yeah, right. The Maris Chayes, right.
Why is it in general the Syrians don't?
I was going to say, yeah, the Syrians are also the Yankees.
All right. Let me just say for the Zoom people. So they were discussing. They said that Syrian. They said the Syrians that usually don't cover their head. The Germans don't cover their heads.
Yeah, Germans are very much outdoors to cover, but indoors in a public place they would.
Okay, Michael says that outdoors they would cover their head, but indoors not. The Germans do.
Indoors
in a public place.
Never
wear
yeah.
The.
All right, what do you want to say, Aaron Moshe?
A couple of things. First of all, I wanted to say that it used to be our way to doubt to be mispalo with holding the hands together thousands of years ago by putting the hands together. And then the goyim adapted it, so right. We don't do it, and we keep our feet together.
All
right. But we usually put the hands. And then there's also a drushin l'shasachalom mitzvah shesona Hashem lekecha. Don't make yourself into a mitzvah, no matter how old you are. Shesona Hashem lekecha, because you have to always have to be an oiler. You can't stay in one place.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Ramosha has a drusha like that, and I think it could be someone else as well. Okay.
Listen, I also just want to say one thing. This is Albert. Used to say that when he used to speak to Reb Moshe, who lived in the next building over, on the telephone, he would stand and put on a hat.
All right. Okay, I'm moving on to the next Mishnah. Okay, let's keep moving. Now, okay, so Manitin, everybody with me? Now, the point of this Mishnah is, there's two terms, Yilodim and Noladim. Now, both of them could mean either the people who were born or the people who will be born. But the Gemara is going to say, and it's a klal in the three lines from the bottom, b'nedarim aleicha char l'shom b'nei adam. When it comes to nedarim, we construe it the way people speak generally, the way people speak generally. So the way people speak, we'll see in the Mishnah. So manitan anodim and a yilodim, if a person makes a neder not to get hana min a yilodim, he says, mutar b'noladim. So min a yilodim is for the people who are not yet born. He's not going to get another. In other words, whatever the date is, certain people are not born yet. So he's cutting off. So he's not going to get benefit when I load him, but he's mutar but no ladim. He's mutar to get enough from the people who are born already. In other words, so we're construing yilodim as the people who will be born, and no ladim the people who are born. He says, mina no ladim, if he takes a neder not to get benefit from the no ladim, he says, asur mina yilodim. So the Tana Kama holds, Yilodim means the ones who will be born. Yilodim means the ones who will be born. No ladim, the ones who are already lives and being. But if he makes a neder mina no ladim, there the Tana Kama holds no ladim means both those who will be born and who already are born. So the Tana Kama holds yilodim means the ones who will be born. No ladim means both. No ladim means, according to the Tana Kama, those who will be born and those who are born. So a person makes a neder mina yilodim, so he's only making a neder not get enough from the people who will be born. But if he makes a neder from Hanoladim, then he's ossering both the people who are born and the people who will be born. Now, he says, Rabbi Meir, Matir Api Yilodim. So it's going to come out from the Gemara, the Rabbi Meir, in the latter case, when you make the neder from Hanoladim, the people who are born, Rabbi Meir holds that Yilodim, the people who will be born, you are allowed. In other words, each one is one half the equation, according to Rameyer. So Rameyer takes it, if you make the neder from Yilodim, you're allowed in Noladim, the ones who are born. If you make the neder from Noladim, you're allowed with Yilodim, the ones who will be born. But Chachamim Omrim, and the simple pshat is, Chachamim is the same as the Tana comes, the simple pshat. But Chachamim Omrim, Lohanet Kavin Zeh, El Mishadarko Lihibaleid. Chachamim hold that when he says Minah Noladim, he's asking from anybody, or anything, not just people, anything that procreates by giving birth. He's not going to get any hanai, it was from the animal kingdom. Anyone that, you know, bears children as opposed to eggs, okay? So now, let's focus on the Gemara, everybody with me? Now, so I explained the Mishnah based on the Maskat of the Gemara, but if you just look at the line in the Mishnah, the third line, Reb Meir Matir Afbi Lodim, so the person made a nether from Hanoladim, And then according to the Chachamim, it means Asr Noladim and then Asr Yilodim. The Remeir Bat Yapi Yilodim, Af means even, so it sounds like Remeir permits everything. So Gemara, Remeir, Veloma Bayan Noladim, Elami Kan, Veloma Bayan Noladim, Elami Man Asur. So in other words, so according to Remeir, it sounds like the Noladim are permissible and the Yilodim are also permissible. So who's prohibited? So the Gemara says, Chisurim Echser V'Hachi Kitani. It says, if there are words missing in the Mishnah, and this is the way we should darshan out the Mishnah. Hanoder min ha-yilodim, if a person makes a neder from the yilodim, the ones who will be born, mutar ben oladim, he's allowed to get hana from the people who are born. Min ha-noladim, if he makes a neder from the noladim, asur b'yilodim. In other words, min ha-noladim, he's asur on across the board. Rabbi Meir Omer, af hanoder min ha-noladim, mutar b'yilodim. Rabbi Meir holds, that if you make a neder from the nola from the nola dim, you're mutar b'yilodim. And now the Gemara explains, ki hechi the noder min ha-yilodim, mutar b'yilodim, just like when you took the neder from yilodim, the ones who will be born, you're permitted with the ones who are born already. So he says, so too, when you make the neder from the nola dim, you're allowed with the yilodim. So amalei Rav Papa l'Abaye, l'meimra de nola dim de midyal de mashman. So it sounds like, within Rav Meir, it sounds like Noladim means those who are already born, their lives and being. Elamiata, Shneva Necha Noladim Lechabe Eretz Yisrael, Hachanami Dityaldenhu. So there's a pasuk in Parshas Vayechi coming up in a few weeks in Laning, where Yaakov says to Yosef, Shneva Necha Noladim Lechabe Eretz Mitzrayim, your two sons who are Noladim, so Lechabe Eretz Yisrael, so does that mean that that they will be born, right? Right. And did I say this right? Noladim is that. I transposed the terms. Noladim, the Gemara thinks, means you're going to be born in the future. He says Yilodim means the ones who are already born. Yilodim means the ones who are born. Let me go over the Mishnah again. I'm so sorry because I didn't explain it right. Noladim means in the future, and Yilodim means that they are already born. Oh, let me read this Mishnah again. I'm sorry. So Manitin, I know them in a Yilodim. So no them in a Noladim. He says the mutar, but he says anoder ben yilodim to yilodim mutar ben oladim. So he's allowed to have hana from the ones who will be born in the future. Noladim means the future. Noladim in the future. Min anoladim. If you took a neder min anoladim, the ones born in the future, asur min yilodim. Then he's prohibited the ones who. Min anoladim is the future, but he's also prohibited from the ones who are already born across the board. Remeir matir af b'yilodim. Remeir permits even b'yilodim, even the ones who are already born. Okay, so now the Gemara says the Remeir blumabaya noladim. So the noladim, even the ones who will be born, he's permitted. So and it sounds like the ones who are born are also permitted on manasur. So chisuri master b'hachi kitani. Anoder min ayilodim, he took an eder min ayilodim, are the ones who are already lives and being. Mutar ben oladim, he's allowed to have enough from the ones who will be born. Min anoladim, asur b'yilodim. But if you took an eder min anoladim, he's asur across the board. So Meir Omer, af anoder min anoladim, if a person took an eder min anoladim, the future, mutar b'yilodim, the ones who are lives and being. Kiechid anoder min ayilodim, mutar ben oladim. Just like the pawn who took an eder from the lives and being, the person in anakin enough from the ones who are lives and being, he's muta benoladim, the ones that will be born. So amalei Rav Papa l'Abaye, amemun noladim dimityal demashvan. So it sounds like noladim that you will be born in the future. Elamiata shnei benecha noladim lechaber tzraim. Yaakov says Yosef, your two sons who are noladim. He's talking about like Ephraim and Manasseh. Doesn't mean they will be born. They are already born. So hachanami dityalden. Who does that mean that they will be born? But they are born. B'elamai di yalidu mashma. What does it mean? They are born. Elamayata dechiv hinei ben nolad beit David. There's another pasuk. It says in Malach Malif, this is in the time of Yeravam. He sets a place of the Avodah Zarah in Beit El, and in Dan. And a Navi comes to Beit El and he says, "Hinei ben nolad Beit David, a child will be born to the, you know, Davidic monarchy, Yoshiyahu Shmo, whose name is Yoshiyahu." So Hakanami Dahaba, so Nolad, does it mean he was born already? Nobody said Nolad means he's born already, like by from Menashe, but Dai Menashe Loba means that Menashe was Yoshiyahu's grandfather. And so it's like 350 years from now, he's going to come. And it calls it Noladim. So Noladim can't be, he was born already, he will be born. El Mashmahachi Mashmahachi. So the word says the word Noladim could be understood either way. Noladim can mean somebody who was born, or Noladim can mean the one who will be born. But when it comes to making a nether, we're going to follow the way people word. So the way that Rameir understands it, that when people refer to Noladim, they mean people who will be born. When people, what's in common parlance, that people say Noladim, they mean people who will be born. And when they say Yilodim, they mean people who are already born. That's the way he's saying it. And according to the Chachamim, the Yilodim, he's allowed to Noladim, the people who will be born. Noladim is prohibited on everybody. That's the way. Now the Gemara says, two lines to the bottom. The Chachamim hold that no, when he made the neder from the Noladim, he means everyone, every species that gives birth. Lapuki moi, lapuki dakim ba'opo. In other words, he's not asking getting hana from the fish. The fish lay eggs or whatever. And he says ba'opo, and birds. Birds also lay eggs. Okay, let's keep going, and we're on a roll. Okay, now, wait, let me just do a little line from our daf digest. Okay, the Nadarim Halech Parashat Bnei Adam, so that's an important klal. And now, the Mishnayot on Lamed Lamed Aleph define many ambiguous terms that might be used in a neder. Mishnah Lamed Lamed Aleph says, for example, that if one vows to not benefit from Yoshei Yavasha, land dwellers, all people are included in his neder, even people at sea. The Gemara explains that sailors at sea are also called Yoshei Yavasha because they eventually will travel and live on land. The Rifah, cited by the Muki Yosef, says that if the noder claims that he meant to exclude sailors when he said Yoshvei Yabasha, he is believed. As the Mishnah says on Yud Chedamun Beis, Perushan Lahakel, person is believed to interpret his neder leniently. Definitions given by the Mishnah are applicable to know there, use these terms without specific intent, or if he forgot what he had in mind at the time. But if he's saying the person could say, no, I meant A or B or C, according to the Ritva cited by the Muki Yosef. Now, the Gemara in Lamed Aleph said, as his rule, we do not define terminology used in a neder according to biblical usage. We don't follow the Pasuk and the Chumash or Tanakh, rather according to common usage. He means Laman of the Days. He said Laman Alpha of the Days. Accordingly, the Radvaz questions the necessity for these Mishnayot. All ambiguous terminology should be interpreted according to the common usage of the day, which not depend on the usage during Mishnah or biblical times. So what do I need this Mishnayot? The Radvaz answers that these definitions are relevant in places where these Mishnah terms are not in common use and cannot be clearly defined. So the person's using it. Now it's not in common use anymore, so I'll look in the Mishnah. Indeed, the Muki Yosef, citing the Ritva, says that some of the definitions given by the Mishnah have since changed. The Mishnah on Lamed Amud Beis says that if one vows not to benefit from Shvuah Rosh, dark-headed people, he's prohibited from benefiting from adult men, but he's permitted to benefit from women and children. The Gemara explains that in Mishnaic times, the expression Shvuah HaRosh denoted people who sometimes cover their head and sometimes uncover their head, and therefore it is referred to adult men. The Muki Yosef says that in post-Talmudic times, the term Shvuah HaRosh has come to refer to anyone with dark hair and therefore excludes people who are bald and old people with white hair. So in other words, the Muki Yosef wants to say times have changed, and what Shvuah HaRosh meant with Zman Chazal isn't what it means in his time. Now, the Mishnah on Laman Abdei cites a dispute between Rav Meir and the Chachamim as to the meaning of the term Noladin. Rav Meir says it refers to people who will be born in the future, but not to people living at the time of the Neder. Whereas the Chachamim say it refers to all people, whether they are living at the time of the Neder or born later. The Mishnah requires an explanation. The meaning of Noladim should depend solely on common usage, and there should be no room for disagreement since the definition of Nadarim follows common usage. So how do they have this machloket? The Rifai answers that most people use the term Noladim as referring to people who will be born, and Rameir interprets the Neder according to the usage of most people. Chachamim, however, maintain that Noladim refers also to people already born, since some people use the term in the past tense, as found in the Pasuk, Shnei Banecha Noladim. The Shvus Yaakov, so in other words, it's coming out, let's say 80% of people use it one way and 20% use it another way. So when I'm interpreting the Neder, and the person himself doesn't have to help us with what he meant, so do I also have to be choshen for the 20%? Sounds like. Shvus Yaakov considers whether one who vowed not to benefit from the fetus of a pregnant animal is permitted to benefit from the mother animal is different. In other words, let's say he made a neder, he's not going to benefit from the ubar. Initially, the Shvus Yaakov assumes that the resolution of this question is linked to the dispute regarding ubar yerechimo in Temura Chapei, whether a fetus is like viewed as part of the mother. According to the opinion that considers a fetus as a limb of its mother, it should be forbidden to benefit from the mother because the mother and fetus are one entity. So if a person took a neder, he's not going to get any hadar from ubarim. It's a little bit like you were discussing before. In other words, he makes it enough to get benefit from ubarim, so does that prohibit him from getting the mother benefit from the mother animal as well? If ubar yerachimo, the ubar is part and parcel of the mother. On the other hand, according to the opinion that consists of fetus separate entity, ubar lav yerachimo should be permitted to benefit from the mother animal. He concludes, however, that since regarding the darim, we follow common usage, and animal merchants consider the fetus as the same entity as the mother, perhaps everyone will agree the mother animal is forbidden for use. So again, so by the darim, halach kar l'shom b'nei adam, different analysis. Then the shar mishin b'alacha considers whether to apply the rule of ishto kigufo, a man's wife is like himself, or it's brought down to brachot chavdalat in the darim. If Reuven vows not to benefit from Shimon, perhaps he's forbidden to benefit from Shimon's wife as well. But Reuven says he's not going to get any benefit from Shimon, is Shimon's wife included with that? But if they ishto kigufo, maybe he can't get benefit from Shimon's wife either. Since regarding many halacha, the wife and husband are treated as one entity. He concludes, however, that since benedarim holchim achar l'shom b'nei adam, perhaps the prohibition declared regarding Shimon does not extend to his wife, because lay people do not view a man and his wife as one entity. In other words, the tzana shabbat they both have, the previous thing with the uber yerachimo, and here, see, there's a halachic principle. You have halachic principles and l'shom b'nei adam. Halachic principles are maybe you are uber yerachimo or not, but that's a halachic issue. Then we have the way people speak. And then the way people speak, he says, everyone agreed the mother animal is forbidden use. That's at least for you is one thing. And then here also by Ishto Kigufo, that's a halachic principle, but the way people talk, maybe not that way. All right, I'm going to move on. Okay, next Mishnah. Everybody with me? So the top line on Lamadal, Manitin, Hanoder Mishopte Shabbat. Now, just to refresh everybody's recollection, there are a group of people known as the Kutim. The Kutim were non-Jewish people who came from, among other places, Kuta in Ashur. And the king of Ashur planted them in Eretz Israel. And he planted them in Shomron and that vicinity. They're also known as Shomronim. This is what Rav Kahati was saying it. And there's a question in the Gemara whether they were, you know, Geri Arayot or Geri Emes. But this mission assumes they were Geri Emes. They're true Gerim. They're true Jews. So we'll see now. I know there Mishopte Shabbat. If a person makes a neder, he's not going to get Hanah from those who rest on Shabbos. Asur b'Yisrael, Asur b'Kutim. So he can't get benefit from the Jews. He can't get benefit from the Kutim. Me'och le'shom. If he takes a neder, he's not going to get benefit from the people who eat garlic. Asur b'Yisrael, Asur b'Kutim. So here, and here, if you look at this, the Ran is much earlier. If you turn back to the Laman Amin Aleph and the Ran, he explains it. Where is it? He says, Me'och le'shom, 10 lines from the bottom. So he says, Mitakanot Ezrahu, le'chol shom b'leilei Shabbat. One of the kinds of Ezra is that people should have garlic on Friday nights. Lefisha shum marbet azera. The shum increases a person's, you know, semen. He says, V'ona tamid chamim erev Shabbat erev Shabbat. The zman for intimate relations with one's wife, your tamid chacham, is Friday night. So therefore, there was a tachana to have shum, to have garlic on Friday night. So back in the Mishnah, Laman Aleph, Laman Aleph. So if a person takes a neder to, you know, not get enough from the Oakley shum, the people who eat the garlic, he's prohibited from the Jews, prohibited from the Kutim. But if he makes a neder not to get enough from Ola Yerushalayim, when people make Aliyah Yerushalayim, Asur b'Yisrael mutar b'Kutim. The Kutim, they're in Har Grizim. That's where they have their, whatever, their worship is on the Har Grizim. And there's still, you know, a number of Kutim, you know, Shomronim alive today. And they're, you know, the Samaritans, you know, and they're over there. So now, the Gemara says, my Shoftei Shabbat. When the Tana says Shoftei Shabbat, those who rest on Shabbos, what is he referring to? Elam and Mekayim Shabbat. It means the people who just observe that they desist from doing malach on Shabbos. My Yiryu B'Kutim. Why is Tana limited the neder to getting benefit from Kutim? He says people obdei kokavim nami. There could be non-Jews who are also resting on Shabbos or something like that. So maybe he's prohibiting himself from them. So the Gemara says Elam Mitzuvim Malach Shabbos. So the alternative is then where he's asking himself to people who are commanded regarding Shabbos. So the Goyim are not commanded because Shabbos. The Kutim are Geri Emes and the Jews are. This is Ihachi Emes Seif. But then how do I explain the Seif of the Mishnah Sefer says, "Me Ola Yerushalayim." The person makes a net enough to get hanah from Ola Yerushalayim, the people making aliyah. As to be strong with Torah Kutim, he's prohibited in getting enough from the Jews, but he's permissible with Kutim. Amayiv, I'm assuming him, but the Kutim, they're mitzvah, like we're mitzvah to make aliyah to Yerushalayim. So what is the litmus test that Tan is using? Is he either way? It's running problems. If he says it's mitzvah, so I run into problems with the last halacha. If I say it's the people who just are doing it, then I run into halacha problems with the first halacha. So Amar Abaye mitzvah osa katani. So Abaye says he means both, that the person is mitzvah, he's commanded, and he does that. But Tarti Babi Kamaita, the first clause of the Mishnah, Yisrael v'kutim mitzvah osim. The Jews and the kutim are both commanded concerning Shabbos and Tekanas Ezra to eat the shum, and they do it. He says, so they're included in his neder. Ovdei kuchavim, ahuda avdi osim min mitzvim. But the goyim, if they do it, they're doing it, but they're not mitzvah. So even if they would desist, you know, from doing malach on Shabbos, they're not mitzvah on it. But ola Yerushalayim, with respect to people making aliyah Yerushalayim, Yisrael mitzvah va'osim, the Jews are mitzvah and they do make aliyah. Kutim mitzvah meinam osim. The kutim are mitzvah, but they don't make aliyah. They're busy with har grizim. That's what they're doing. Okay. All right. Now, one second. Okay, let's go further. Okay, that's the next Mishnah. Okay, man Ethan. Konam sheni ner el bnei noach. So if a person makes a konam, konam is lashon neder, he's not going to get hana'a from bnei noach. So he says, mutar b'Yisrael ba'asru b'obdei kokavim. He's allowed to get hana'a. So bnei noach is a term which we're going to say means goyim, Gentiles. And so if he says he's not going to get hana'a from bnei noach, he's prohibited getting hana'a from the Gentiles, but he can get hana'a from the Jews. So he says, the Gemara says, "V'Yisrael mi nafik b'klal b'nei Noach." So isn't every Israel also ben Noach? Why are only the goyim b'nei Noach? So the Gemara says, "Came into ikdash Avraham it karu al shmei." Once Avraham was like, you know, Hashem chose him, you know, to be the progenitor for a chosen people. So he's not included in this getter of b'nei Noach. Not included in the getter of b'nei Noach. Okay. Now let's see for the next Mishnah. Okay, Matnitim she'eni nehne l'zera Avram. So eni nehne l'zera Avram asur b'Yisrael mutar b'ovdei kochavim. One second, let's make sure I get this right. One second. Yeah. So he says, not going to get any benefit from the Zerah of Abraham, from the descendants of Abraham. So he's Asur B'Yisrael, Mutar B'Ovdei Kochavim. So he can't get benefit from the Jews, but he's allowed with the Goyim. So the Gemara says, V'Ha'ika Yishmael. So if he says, I'm not going to get benefit from Zerah Avram, but Avram and his son Yishmael, like all the Arabs we say are like the Yishmaelim. So why is it so clear if he makes a neder, he's not going to get hana from Zerah Avram? He's only prohibited the Jews, and he should also be prohibited in getting benefit from the Bnei Yishmael, who also Zerah Avram. So the Gemara says, "Kibi Yitzchaki Korei L'Chazara." Like it's true, Yishmael biologically is descendant of Abraham, but halachically, Kibi Yitzchaki Korei L'Chazara. Zerah Avraham is called descendants of Yitzchak. He says, it's interesting because the Gemara has a pasuk, but we're found in Lashon B'nei Adam, and I assume that's the way people speak. But Ika Esav, so what about Esav? Esav is also a descendant of Avraham Avinu, and he's also a descendant of Yitzchak. So why should he be allowed to get, you know, benefit from the Goyim? The Goyim who descends of Esav should also be included in the Neder. Yitzchak v'lo kol Yitzchak. And it was in Yitzchak, in other words, Zerah Avraham is B'Yitzchak. B'Yitzchak Yikrei L'Chazara, in Yitzchak and Mikozara, and not all of Yitzchak, because only the Yaakov part of Yitzchak and not the Esau part of Yitzchak, which is this week's Parsha of Shavua. Okay, now, let me just do, this is from this. Okay, all right, any questions, comments, thoughts on anything I did today so far? All right, he's got a piece on covering the head of children, but I think I'm going to call it a day at this point in time. Okay. Let me record it. One second.